Welcome to the second module, which will be about stress and overwork. And this session is about burnout syndrome. Burnout syndrome, also known as burnout, is one of those conditions that is talked about a lot, but few people know exactly what it means, and even fewer think it might be related to themselves. This can't be happening to me. I'm in control. Are you saying that to yourself? Well, let's unpack this together. Because the burnout doesn't care how in control we think we are. It is ready to connect with anyone who has ignored their psychological well-being and capacity for relaxation. Imagine that your life is an imaginary backpack. It starts off light, you could hardly feel it on your back. But with the daily stresses, demands at work, housework, expectations of those around us, and that overwhelming desire for perfection, we gradually throw rocks into it. Small ones, medium ones, and big ones. And what happens when a backpack becomes an overflowing bag full of rocks? One day, your back just can't take it anymore. And that's how we might describe burnout syndrome. It's that moment when you can't go on anymore because your physical, mental, and emotional credit is totally exhausted. Yes, this is the moment that separates ordinary overwork or momentary stress from something much more serious, burnout syndrome. Let's take a closer look at that backpack. Every day, we pack everything that weighs us down. Work tasks, responsibilities at home, worries, fears, but maybe also other people's expectations and our over-expectations. But every backpack has its capacity, and if you overload it, it will simply get permanently destroyed. And what do? Nothing. You don't keep running, you don't move on. You just lie there and the backpack lies next to you. Your body tells you enough. And not just like that. It takes it pretty hard, and that's exactly what burnout does. As long as you're still at the stage where you're complaining about work or walking around your apartment swearing about how everything sucks, you have a chance. You've got a spark in you, although the more you ignore it, the more the chance will fade away, but it's still there. That bitter expression you walk into the office with in the morning is a sign that despite everything, you're still picking yourself up, packing your imaginary backpack, and trying to trudge on. And that's the good news. You can still do something. You still have the energy to look for ways out. But how do you know if you're over the line? Once the spark is really gone, it's like a light going out. Burnout isn't about not wanting to. It's not that you're in a bad mood, and it's certainly not that you just need a vacation. It's a condition where you reach an imaginary wall. It's not that the wall is just an obstacle you can jump over. The wall simply stops you and leaves you in that place. You find yourself in a place where you can't get out of bed, find the motivation to brush your teeth, or answer a text from your best friend. And what's scarier, you don't even care that life is flowing through your fingers like this anymore. The problem is that burnout syndrome tends to look subtle at first. Some getting angry. This is pissing me off. I'm not interested anymore. These are things we all experience. But once that backpack overflows or even quietly fills and fills for a few months or years until it suddenly bursts, we get into a state that is no longer possible to just rest or sleep through the weekend. Burnout syndrome is like a little ticking alarm clock that gradually turns into a huge explosion. And after the explosion, all that's left is an emptiness. Now, I don't mean this as some philosophical metaphor or catchphrase we say when we want to avoid explaining. I mean it in all seriousness. What's left is something that's hard to describe. This huge nothing, nothing that surrounds you and takes away your desire and energy to go on. This nothing I'm talking about has a special power. It even takes away your emotions. You won't feel anything. No excitement, no sadness, no anger, no joy. Just silence. An absolutely terrifying and paralyzing silence. And now you ask, how can anything hurt so much? Well, it's no ordinary nothing. It's an emptiness so deep and dark that it eventually begins to feel normal. This nothingness disconnects you from people, from things you used to enjoy, from the meaning you used to have. Suddenly, you get up in the morning and you're just getting through the day. No goals, no little pleasures, just trying to get through another day. And that's mostly in bed. And that, my friends, is not something to be taken lightly. Seriously, help is needed here. And before you start thinking I'm going to moralize or drag you to a therapist as someone who has failed, please take it easy. I know it's hard for most people to admit that something is wrong. We live in a world where we're supposed to be strong all the time, cool all the time, 100% ready all the time. But the truth is, you can't always be insta-cool. And it's okay. I'll say it again. It's okay. Admitting that something isn't working is the first step. What's next? Ideally, help. Help can come first from people close to you, family, friends. They all love you and are often the first to notice that something is not quite right. They may have even said to you, "Hey, you seem different," or, "You've been looking like a zombie lately, what's wrong?" But you may have just waved it away with words, "I'm just tired, it's okay." At that point, it's good to at least stop and think for a moment. Are they right? Maybe they are. But honestly, sometimes even those who are closest to you aren't sure what steps to take or how to assist, and that's completely normal. And it is at this point that someone who is trained to do this enters the scene. A psychologist, a therapist. These are the people who have the tools, the experience, and most importantly, the distance. They're like guides in the jungle when you've lost your map and your compass. Not only will they listen to you, but they'll help you figure out exactly where you're stuck. They'll also assist you in finding a way out. I know how complicated or awkward this may seem at first. Like, am I really supposed to see a psychologist? I mean, that's just for people who can't quite handle it. And let me tell you, that's a misunderstanding. Seeing a therapist is not a sign of weakness. In contrast, it's a sign of courage. It means that you're able to admit that something's not right, and more importantly, that you want to fix it. A psychologist or therapist is not a judge or someone who will change you into someone else. On the contrary, they'll show you how to get back to yourself. Professional help is not science fiction. The moment you start to do it, you start to realize that you don't have to do some things on your own anymore. That even emotions that seemed far away are gradually returning. That the emptiness, the big nothing, is no longer so expansive. Sure, it's not a magic wand that waves and boom, everything's fine. No, it's a process that may take a while, but it's worth it. And why is burnout syndrome so dangerous? Because it's subtle, creeping, and its consequences are devastating. Treatment is long, difficult, and worst of all, without the help of professionals, it's highly likely that you won't even be able to get through it on your own. Think of it as falling into a deep, dark pit where the way up is long and you need a ladder, but you don't have the strength to build the ladder yourself. That's why burnout syndrome is such an underrated, misunderstood topic. What's the worst part? Our body is warning us. Our body is the most loyal friend that whispers to you all the time, "Hey, something's wrong." But we tend to ignore that voice, silence it with coffee, get it drunk on endorphins from the next work performance, or drown it out with a constant, "I have to." But once the body has no other choice, it takes over. It will stop you. It shuts you down. The body, unlike our brain, never lies and has a basic goal: survival. We can ignore its first warning signs: tiredness, trouble sleeping, dislike of things we used to enjoy. But the body sees it all and gathers information. And when nothing but game over will do, it forces you to slow down, even against your will. That is why it is so important that we listen to ourselves. Burnout doesn't mean the end. It can be managed, but we need to act in time. You need to find a way to rest, to take care of your mental health, to self-discovery. Stop ignoring your inner voice and take it seriously. Remember that the time you give to yourself and your well-being is not wasted, but an investment. Because no project, career, or deadline is worth losing yourself over. Be kind to yourself. No one else will do it for you. What actually causes this, you ask? Initially, burnout might look like a fabricated issue or something that only affects certain individuals, but the truth is much closer than you think. Think about it. When was the last time you felt like you were being weighed down by an invisible weight that you'll never take off? Look around you. We are living in what can easily be described as the era of overspending. The modern world presses in on us from all sides, constantly bombarding us with demands, tasks, deadlines, and expectations, all at a pace that would have seemed completely unimaginable to us just a few years ago. The pressure to perform not only overflows from work life, but has seamlessly found its way into our homes. Remember when it was common for the workday to start at 9 a.m. and end at 5 p.m.? A time when after leaving the office, work worries were left at its door? Well, if you haven't even remembered those times, you're not alone, because those times are long gone. Thanks to today's technological connectivity, we are accessible almost nonstop. Emails that come just like that are no longer the privilege of working hours. A work phone that rings even when we're eating dinner with the family or trying to get the kids to sleep. And how many times have we replied to an email just before we closed our eyes and drifted off into the night instead of actually resting? Now add to that the fact that balancing work and personal life is like juggling flaming torches for most of us. One misstep and everything falls apart. Let's face it, modern times have kind of changed the way we view the good old rule about shutting down and restarting. You can't even leave a computer or phone running without interruptions, much less a human being. Emotions, thoughts, stress. It all stays with us, no matter how hard we try to do everything in life. How about another surprise? Burnout syndrome is not just something that happens to people who are workaholics or who start their dream startups, work on three projects at the same time, and sleep 3 hours a day. You might think that burnout only affects doctors, teachers, lawyers, or social workers, professions that are generally perceived as the most demanding. But the truth is that burnout doesn't have a limited definition. You could be a lawyer, a salesperson, an IT specialist, or a diner chef. If you feel like everything is falling on you and the pressure is constant, you can also get into this state very quickly. What's perhaps even more surprising, however, is that burnout can happen to people you might expect even less from. Moms on maternity leave, for example. Yes, that's right. While it might seem that the period when we care for our children is the most wonderful time, it is also mentally and physically exhausting. The endless days of caregiving, the lack of sleep, the minimal time to yourself, and the feeling that you have to do everything to perfection. All of this can lead to severe emotional exhaustion. And what about students? They are not spared either. Under the pressure of exams, expectations from teachers, parents, and indeed the whole system, they can easily come to feel that they have put on more than they can handle. How does it all begin? Slowly, quietly. It starts with little things you hardly notice. A little less sleep, a little more stress. Then suddenly, you find that you're tired of the whole being, and you don't even have the energy for the things you used to love. Burnout is like a little subtle fire that ignites in a corner of your being and gradually burns itself out until it takes all your strength. And if you let it go too far, it can hit you very hard. So never underestimate the signals your body or mind is sending you. It's unrealistic to expect to be at your best constantly. It's perfectly okay to ask for help, to slow down, or take a step back. Taking care of yourself is not selfish. It's key. You are like a battery for all your family, colleagues, friends. When your battery runs out, you get exhausted and lose your spark. But if you recharge continuously, you can shine not only for yourself, but for everyone else. Let's look at emotional symptoms. Chronic tiredness is when you feel tired all the time and without energy, even after a long sleep. Cynicism and despair is the daily bread, the loss of faith in the meaning of your work or activities, or even life itself. Increased tendency to feel frustrated, annoyed, or irritable with others. Feelings of insufficiency when your mind is filled with thoughts of being worthless. Very often it is also sadness, and you don't know why you are sad. What about physical symptoms? Insomnia, or, on the contrary, excessive sleepiness, inability to fall asleep, or frequent awakenings. Common headaches and migraines frequently related to tension. Digestive issues or alterations in appetite. More common colds and infections, reduced immune function. Next up are behavioral symptoms. Loss of interest in family, work, or activities you used to enjoy. Frequent delays or extensions of deadlines. Failure to accomplish anything. Avoiding social interactions, spending less time with colleagues, friends, or family. Trying to escape into alcohol, drugs, or unproductive activities to cope with stress. And the last are cognitive symptoms. Reduced ability to concentrate and negative thoughts. All right, so what about it? That's probably the first question that's crossed your mind right now. And you know what? That's totally fine. When you feel like you're being run over by a steam engine of emotions you can't even name, it's normal to look for answers. And I've got some good news for you right now, the kind that's almost a joy to wait for, because burnout syndrome isn't the end of the world. It really isn't. While it may seem like the end station of no return right now, and with a slammed door to boot, it's actually a bit of a warning sign, a call from your body and your mind that says, "Hey, something's wrong here and we need to reorganize." And that's good news because if you get it, you're halfway there. The first and very important thing is to recognize burnout syndrome as quickly as you can. Don't underestimate the little warning signs, such as constant tiredness, frustration, feeling like nothing makes sense, or waking up in the morning thinking it's going to be another endlessly long day. These are all pieces of the puzzle that could point to a problem. This is where staying calm and facing the situation is key. Don't play the "you can do it all by yourself" card and be a superhero because, let's be honest, burnout can knock Iron Man's socks off. So what's next? The first step is usually to change something in your lifestyle. Now, you may be thinking that you've heard the speeches about proper time management, better eating, and 8 hours of sleep too many times. And you know what? Yeah, you're right. It just really makes sense. Think about it. When was the last time you allowed yourself to just switch off, sit down with a book, go for a long walk without your phone, or just throw your feet up on the desk? If you've had to think deeply enough, it's time to slow down. Learn to say no. And now comes the hard part. No guilt. Because saying no to someone doesn't mean you're a failure or that you're selfish. It just means you're protecting yourself. And that's one of the most important skills any of us should have. Once you've ordered yourself a little bit of that imaginary slowing down, try to look for support around you. Your partner, family, close friends, these are the first people who can be your lifeline. But remember that sometimes it's better to talk to an outsider, a therapist, a coach, a professional who can give you perspective. We're in a time when seeking professional help is not a stigma. On the contrary, it's a sign of courage. The courage to admit that putting the whole world on your shoulders may not be the best solution. And if you feel like you really need to hit the reset button, go ahead. Give yourself a day of rest or even a whole weekend, one where you can really relax. No computer work, no window cleaning or catching up on rest, just real relaxation. If even this is not enough, there is no reason to fear professional help. Because burnout is not an indicator of your personal failure in the first place. It's not a weakness or a sign that you're not good enough. Rather, it's a mirror telling you that you've taken on a little too much and that you need to find your balance again. And what if you feel completely lost and don't know where to start? Remind yourself that even the smallest step forward is a step in the right direction. No one expects you to suddenly change your life 180 degrees from one day to the next. Learn to be patient with yourself. After all, when we water a flower, we don't anticipate it to blossom beautifully overnight. It's the same with you. If you take care of yourself and take it slow, one day you will wake up and find yourself full of energy, inspiration, and life again. And finally, remember the most important thing. If you feel good about yourself, you can do anything and do it with a smile. And that's worth it, right? Let's dive into practical part. Burnout syndrome is important to understand, so let's break down where you stand. Below is a little test. Please give yourself plenty of time for each one. Really think about it, and if neither answer fits, choose the one that is closest to you, but next to it on the paper. Write down everything you can think of. Answer each question according to how you feel, and give each answer the appropriate number of points. Once you have completed, sum up the total points and assess your burnout risk. Here are the questions. Question 1. How do you feel about your job? Option A. I am excited and motivated. Option B. Sometimes I find the work boring. Option C. I often feel frustrated and tired. Question 2. How regularly do you spend your free time? Option A. I have time for hobbies and relaxation. Option B. I sometimes take time for myself. Option C. I fail to set aside time for myself entirely. Question 3. How do you feel about your health? Option A. I feel fit and full of energy. Option B. I feel tired sometimes. Option C. I often have health problems or feel exhausted. Question 4. How do you handle stress? Option A. I know how to deal with it and I am looking for a solution. Option B. Sometimes I feel under pressure, but I manage it. Option C. Stress often overwhelms me and I feel helpless. Question 5. How do you enjoy social interaction? Option A. I like to meet friends and family. Option B. Sometimes I feel tired, but I still like to talk to them. Option C. I prefer to spend time alone and avoid interaction. Question 6. How do you feel about your working environment? Option A. I am satisfied. I have support from my colleagues and superiors. Option B. The work environment is not ideal, but I feel at ease. Option C. I feel isolated and unsupported. Question 7. How do you react to setbacks or challenging situations? Option A. I take it as an opportunity to learn and improve. Option B. I feel frustration, but I am trying to cope. Option C. I feel helpless and lost. Question 8. How often do you feel tired during the day? Option A. I almost never feel tired. Option B. Sometimes I feel tired, but not too tired. Option C. I feel tired most of the day. Question 9. How do you feel after a day's work? Option A. Good, I feel happy and relaxed. Option B. I feel tired, but it's nothing serious. Option C. I am extremely tired and have no energy to do anything. Question 10. How often do you make time for yourself? Option A. I regularly set aside time for myself. Option B. Sometimes I make time for myself, but it could be better. Option C. I don't make time for myself at all. Question 11. How do you rate your sleep? Option A. I sleep well and feel rested. Option B. I sometimes have trouble falling asleep or wake up several times. Option C. I have constant sleep problems and feel exhausted. Question 12. How often do you have negative thoughts about your work? Option A. Rarely or not at all. Option B. Sometimes when things are not going well. Option C. I often have negative thoughts, even in ordinary situations. Question 13. How do you rate your motivation to work? Option A. I am very motivated and want to develop myself. Option B. Sometimes I lack motivation, but I try. Option C. I often feel that I have no motivation. Question 14. How do you manage work tasks during crisis situations? Option A. I am able to focus and perform well when stressed. Option B. I can manage it occasionally, though it can be challenging. Option C. In crisis situations, I feel confused and unable to act. Question 15. How do you feel about the other people you work with? Option A. I have positive relationships and good friendships. Option B. I have mixed feelings. Sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not. Option C. I feel lonely and have no support from others. Question 16. How often do you work out or stay active? Option A. I have regular physical activity 3 to 4 times a week. Option B. I move occasionally, but I could be more active. Option C. There is no time for me to be physically active. Question 17. How easily do you give up on your goals? Option A. I never give up. I try to go all the way. Option B. Sometimes I think I'll give up, but I keep going. Option C. I often give up when the going gets tough. Question 18. How do you rate the balance between work and personal life? Option A. I have a good work-life balance. Option B. Sometimes it's balanced, but I could improve. Option C. My work-life balance is completely off. Work takes over my life. Question 19. Do you feel you can navigate through change? Option A. I am flexible and I can adapt easily. Option B. It may take me a while, but I'm getting used to it. Option C. I find it difficult to handle change and it stresses me out. Question 20. How often do you feel like you need to change something in your life? Option A. Rarely. I feel there is nothing wrong with the way I live. Option B. From time to time, I think about making changes in my life. Option C. I often feel the need to make a change, yet I'm unsure of how to proceed. Option A is worth 0 points. Option B is worth 1 point. And option C is worth 2 points. Now is the time to sum up the total points. You know the risk, but we need to go into this in depth, so take your time. I have prepared 21 questions for you to better analyze your situation and understand what is going on inside your head. Avoid answers like nothing or everything is fine. The ideal is to close your eyes and think about your life. You don't answer to anyone and you do everything for yourself. How do you currently feel about your work and lifestyle? What is the most significant concern for you right now? What specific situations in your life cause the most stress? How do you handle them? What habits or rituals help you maintain your well-being and energy? How often do you practice them? How important are personal hobbies and interests to you? How can we better incorporate them into your daily life? Who are the people who support you? How can you maximize this support? What changes could you make to give yourself more time to rest and recover? What relaxation techniques would you like to include in your weekly routine to reduce stress? How can you improve your physical and mental health care? What would you like to change? What limits do you need to set to avoid overwhelming yourself? How can you apply them in your working life? What little things can you do today to enhance your well-being? What specific goal will you set for the next 7 days? What are your strengths that can help you overcome your goals and challenges? What factors do you believe are most responsible for burnout? How can you impact them? How does self-reflection influence your life? How can you change a negative mindset to a positive one? What is your ideal working day? How does your current day compare to this ideal? What actions can you take to find joy in your work again? If you had to decide what to change in your life immediately, what would it be? What is your vision for your personal and professional life in terms of well-being and satisfaction? What are the steps to achieve this vision? What are the main values that motivate you? How are these values reflected in your daily life? How can you ensure that you spend time with people who support and motivate you? How can you create a surrounding that supports your well-being and positive energy? What changes would you like to establish?
Is there something you need to change?
And finally, the last question of all. What did you realize?